So President Obama squeezed quite a bit into his overseas trip that ended this week. 8 days in Europe, plus a surprise visit to Iraq. David Sanger is the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times, and he's been covering the trip. We've been checking in with him pretty regularly. He joins us now from Washington this morning. David, to reflect on this trip, would you say that the president came away with a grand plan of where America is placed in world politics?
You know, I don't think you could call it a grand plan yet. And, you know, I wrote in this morning's paper that if you were looking for a grand strategy out of this trip, the closest thing you got to one was in his description of the future of nuclear weapons in the world. But if you looked at the financial side of the trip, which was how it began, the G20 part, and then when he went to NATO to deal with Afghanistan and Pakistan, there was no grand strategy. There was sort of ad hoc solutions there. And on those in those areas, for all of the incredible response that he and certainly Michelle Obama got from the public, he didn't come away with an extraordinary amount of cooperation or joint action. So this was one of those trips where the tone of it and the theatrics of it, I think, were enormously successful. The substantive reordering of the world part of it was less so.
Well, I guess, you know, how do you interpret that? You wrote this book called The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power. And that sounded, you know, when I first heard the title, like something, you know, sort of depressing for Barack Obama to confront. But it seems like the best thing, going for Barack Obama is the fact that he's not Bush. He shows up and is not Bush, and the crowd goes wild. That's Inheritance, right. Forget it. It's like a trust fund.
Yeah, it's... Remember, this was a first trip, John. So, you know, there was the novelty element there. I mean, you went through the London papers every day, and you found about four pages of coverage of either their visits to Buckingham Palace or Michelle Obama wowing everybody at the schools or whatever. There was a little bit of Jack Kennedy and Jacqueline showing up in Europe, you know, going on here. So you had to get past a little bit of the buzz in order to get to this next point. But you're right. This was the anti-Bush doctrine trip. If there wasn't a grand strategy around what Obama was saying, I think, John, that's because that was the point, that he was saying there is not going to be American doctrine that then leads to American dictates.
David, you talk about the spectacle of the trip, but let's break it down a little bit and see where the president actually scored points or maybe lost points. Looking at the global financial system and what America got out of that and G20, what's the takeaway there?
You know, in that area, he had come in hoping that there would be some kind of coordinated stimulus package so that every country would be sort of firing at the same time, kind of like having all six cylinders in your engine burning gas at the same moment to get to a critical mass, or if it's my old car, three cylinders. But what happened instead was that there was an announcement of $1.1 trillion of additional stimulus that when you picked it apart, you discovered was largely either old commitments or not real money, except for a few hundred billion of it. So in that area, I don't think he got very much. Just before he left, he announced that we were sending an additional 21,000 troops to Afghanistan. What he got from all of the rest of NATO was an additional 5,000, most of whom were just there temporarily for the election. So I found those areas less than impressive.
What about the president's relationship and America's relationship with the Muslim world? I know the president was talking about that specifically when he was in Turkey. Does that get him any plus points?
I think that did. He went in there and he was introduced as Barack Hussein Obama. When that happens here in the United States, it's usually a conservative group emphasizing the word Hussein to suggest in some way, you know, that he is a practicing Muslim, which, as we know, he's not. But what did he do? He stood up and he said, you know, America's made up of many parts, and there are a lot of people who are either Muslims practicing in the country or who have family who are Muslims. And he said, I know because I'm one of them. And I think that took him an enormously long way. It particularly took him a long way when he began to discuss the basketball skills of two Turkish NBA players. For sort of a feel-good of we're here to understand the issues surrounding the Muslim world, Turkey was the perfect place to start. And he did not lecture to them about the wonders of secular democracy, which Turkey has had. And he did not try to make the argument that the rest of the Muslim world should look just like Turkey, which was essentially the argument you got out of the Bush administration.
And he didn't disclose whether he's, you know, pro-zone defense or is more of a three-point shooter when he was talking to the NBA players.
He didn't, but if you look at the way this administration has been operating in its first 80 days, John, these are zone defense guys.
David Sanger, you checked in with us before the president's visit, during the president's visit, and after the president's visit. Thank you very much, David Sanger.
Thank you, anytime.
Thank you very much. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times and author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts, and The Challenges to American Power.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.